The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio.
We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen. This is The Cue.
Let's get down to business.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Cue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to us on the absolute best radio stations east and west of the Mississippi River, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri. This is The Cue, and tonight we have ourselves one hell of a packed show, and I'm just super excited. That's all I can say. I'm super excited because lawyer Peter Van Loonen joins us to discuss the world as we know it. We will talk some moral dilemmas, and dumb conservatives thought the white flags on top of the Brooklyn Bridge was the U.S. giving up to terrorists. We are going to discuss that. But before we get to any of that, I would like to welcome our esteemed guest, as well as my co-host. First, he is what we call the polar vortex. He is a man who is of sexual nature. He is a massive man of studliness. Mm-hmm. This man, he runs the world when it comes to women's private areas.
I'm like the Sith Lord of women.
You are the Sith Lord of women, like maybe the only Sith Lord of women.
There's really only can be one. If I had an apprentice, he'd probably kill me.
Right.
But we're not even going to go there.
Right. We're not going to go there. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Polar Vortex himself, the Danimal, Dan Walsh. Thank you so much for being here, sir.
Thank you so much for continuously allowing me to come back and then building my resume week by week. Yeah. Different countries and continents that I conquer.
Places that you just run roughshod over the top of.
The polar vortex apparently doesn't just affect North America. It affects the world.
It affects the entire world at all times.
And their privates.
And their privates, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, also joining us today, a gentleman that I've had the pleasure of knowing for about a solid decade now. He is a lawyer here in the St. Louis area. His name is Peter Van Loonen. What's up, Pete?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on your show.
No problem, man. Go ahead and talk into the end of that microphone there. Don't be afraid of it.
I'll stick it in my mouth now.
Yeah,
is that better?
That's a little bit better, yes.
Okay.
I can work with that right there.
Bobby puts it in his mouth.
Yes, which dude. Speaking of that, little producer Bobby is not here this week because, he's got some other engagements that he's dealing with.
That happens sometimes.
There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I appreciate it. But Pete is here to sit in and talk and wax poetic with us, crack wise, and discuss current events and news stories around the United States. Which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, we are giving away tickets to WrestleFest outside of Chicago and Joliet, Illinois. That's coming up here. If you go to thecuenow.com, click on the contest section at the top of the page, and then go ahead and enter yourself in there. You could win, potentially, the chance to go up and see performers like Kurt Angle.
As well as
Kevin Nash and Bushwhacker Luke, who was on the show last week.
That guy was a riot.
That was a very
we
fun caught moment.
Him at a very, very, very wonderful time of his evening.
Yeah, he was.
When he's about 19 Fosters deep.
He was definitely about 19 Fosters.
But I'll tell you what, man, he was super excited. That show is stacked. If you're a wrestling fan, whether you haven't watched it in the last 5 years, like these are all names that have been in wrestling for the last 15 years.
Yeah, they've been there forever. So it's going to be a huge show. You want to check out thecuenow.com. Click on that. We've got the pictures, the posters, all that good stuff, and the information about that coming up. So do that at thecuenow.com. Also, another little piece of housekeeping I want to put out there, muni.org. We have tickets that we're giving away to the Muni every single week for the entire summer, the entire Muni season. And I want you to check that out. Also, that's at the contest section, too. You can either choose. Well, you can answer to me, but like, you know, the best thing is we try to give people freedom, Dan. We try to give them freedom in their life to go out.
And culture.
And culture to go out for nothing and enjoy entertainment around the United States.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We
wrestling, and then musicals. They're together like peanut butter and mayonnaise.
Now, Pete, do you are you a big wrestling fan?
I am not. Regrettably, I am not a big wrestling fan. Last time I was a big wrestling fan, I believe Bulldog Bob Brown was in the ring with the Von.
Wow, that's some wrestling of the Chase back in the day.
Look at this name dropper over here. Yeah, naming the legends.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't wax poetic on the legends the way others do. Like, I understand who they are. I understand where they came from. I know how important they are to the professional wrestling business, you know, and I give them the respect that they deserve. But, like, I didn't have, like, the most impressive thing I ever saw was Jerry Blackwell do a standing drop kick at 370 or 80 pounds and just a large human being getting that much height. And, I mean, literally to the forehead of the other wrestler. It was just impressive to watch. That's the most impressive thing I've ever seen in wrestling.
Yeah, dude, but back in the day, like, I got the WWE Network.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, the thing I love the most about it is watching all the old stuff. I mean, those guys could draw heat and draw excitement. Their matches, in my opinion,
psychologically, because of
much better.
The nostalgia also, though? Like, yeah. Like, because of remembering it the way it was when we were a kid and now seeing it again? But, dude,
no, I was watching an episode of Saturday Night Main Event, and this is literally a Saturday night free show on NBC.
Yeah.
And it was George the Animal Steel versus Dangerous Danny Davis, Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy, and Macho Man versus Bret the Hitman Hart. That was a Saturday night, and all the matches, like as far as psychology and like crowd interaction, were amazing. It was better than what I've seen on pay-per-views recently.
But that's because back then, the lines weren't blurred.
Yeah, but
like,
no,
now they are. Now everybody kind of knows the game and is in on the inside. Back then, those people really didn't know because it wasn't a known thing, and it was literally word of mouth.
But no, it's how they work, man. I mean, like when you see them in there, the matches.
But it was easier. That's my point. It was easier back then. It was easier to work the crowd because the crowd wasn't in on the game.
But no. Okay. First off, it's how they're actually in-ring stuff is more solid. It actually looks like a real fight. It's none of this like set up spotty stuff. It to me, much better. They were more crisp. They were faster. It looked way more intense. So no, I'm going to disagree with you. Like I understand that. Like yes, the crowd thought it was absolutely real, but what they were actually doing as far as showmanship, I think, is far greater than what they do now.
Fair enough. Fair. That's a fair assessment.
Everybody's complacent now.
Now, Pete, are you a fan? Are you a fan of the Muni? Are you a fan of musicals? Seussicles, to be exact.
You know, since I've had kids, I've been more of a fan of, like, Caillou and Pocoyo than anything else. I mean, you know.
Okay, first off, I got a real... Let me go on my first rant here, okay? It's going to be about Caillou, all right?
He whines entirely too much.
Listen, first off, this kid is a little bastard, okay? This is just ridiculous. And oh my God. Look at that butt. I'm just telling you right now. No, it's just kind of ridiculous. The front butt. The front butt. No. Caillou is just ridiculous. He is just out of control. He's kind of whack. And I think he just, like you said, he whines too much. It's always about, oh, the world's coming to an end and I'm not a happy person. And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show also one producer, Bobby.
Hello.
You're here.
How are you?
Pete, do you see how close he gets to the microphone?
He does.
He gets all up on
it. I love these microphones.
Just don't do that.
He's like ready to sit on it.
Okay, so you're done. Just relax. Anyway, Caillou, he's a little bastard, okay? I'm not a big fan of the Caillou. I think Caillou's a little punk. I think it's kind of ridiculous, the things that he puts his mom and dad through. Mm-hmm. And he's got a brother or sister. I can't.
Well, it's a Canadian show, isn't it? So, I mean.
Well, explains it right there.
I believe so.
I
believe so.
What about Doc McStuffin?
Doc McStuffins is a Disney show.
Yeah, but I hate Doc McStuffin.
Why do you hate Doc McStuffins?
Teaches kids to be weird. Let's go talk to our...
Pete, can we sue Doc McStuffins for making kids weird?
No, I don't think there's any cause of action there.
Bobby got here a little late. He wasn't even supposed to be here. Bobby got here a little late. This is Peter Van Loonen, the lawyer, Bobby, that you just didn't do your job at all this week. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Bobby, this week we're going to find out what we can and can't sue people for.
Yes.
So far, I've only found out what we can't sue people for.
it's very limited. Yeah.
It's been
very limited.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got some rants I want to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my first rants I want to get into very simply, and I got to hear what Dan's opinion is on this. And Pete, please, at any time, just jump in.
You
chime in whenever you'd like to. I was listening around onto local radio
earlier this week. Okay. And I was going different time periods of the day, different stations all across. And I come to notice one thing. There's a lot of stupid idiots who don't know a damn thing about politics talking about politics on their radio shows.
Can you sue for that?
No, there's no cause of action there.
There's no political slander.
Luckily for a lot of people.
There is no cause of action for it. Listen, here's the thing. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you get paid. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is you actually saying something of value. All right? This is kind of going to go into my second rant. We're going to put these two together.
Okay.
Because it's very simple. Right now, there's this whole situation with this Malaysian airplane, right?
Yes.
Plane goes down, shot down by what they say is pro-Russian rebels that are supportive of the separatists. And Putin is basically taking the stance that we didn't call for this. We didn't ask for this. These people, even though they support us, they're kind of like, you know, it's the juggalo argument of life.
Yeah, but
we're not a gang. Just the people that happen to act like they're in a gang just really love to wear our face paint all the time. But we're not in a gang.
But apparently, though, these militants have taken aim and were about to fire on other aircraft.
Right. Yeah. No, they're totally going out of their way to do it, which makes them D-bags. We understand that. Right. But my point is this. So you have all these conservative radio styled hosts. They're not, listen, they're not conservative radio show hosts. They're just radio show hosts that are just for the everyman. You know what I'm saying? And they got opinions. And they're no different than Mark Blinn. I will be the first one to say that
you
no different than Mark.
You have a ton of opinions.
I have a ton of opinions.
99.9% of them are anti-conservative opinions, but you do have opinions.
Yeah, but they're not all anti-conservative opinions.
I'm going to say, what do you think,
majority,
Bobby? 99?
No, I would say a majority.
It's mostly conservatives or North County trash.
Yeah,
those
well,
are
I
the
don't,
two
we
complained about.
I'm definitely against
good. Like camo jackets and Bush Light beers, or I hate conservatives. Usually how he starts.
Good call.
Off.
Hmm. Hey, and if you like anything with Doug Dynasty or America.
America.
Or Eagles.
Patriots.
Constitution.
Patriots. Oz in military.
Respect
me. Respect me. No,
you better
no.
respect me. Okay.
No. My point is this. So we have these people. They get out there. And first off, know the names of the people. Know the names of the people. Their names are like Vladimir Putin, okay? They're not Underlovsky Putin. They're not whatever Putin. It's Vladimir.
What did I call him, Valerie?
You're Valerie, but that's okay. You're doing it in a joking way.
I call them Valerie Putin.
Valerie Putin.
I think it sounds sweeter.
That potentially could be slander.
It does. Okay, now here's the point. Know the names of the people you're talking about first, okay? The minute that you change the name to Obama, you've already lost political credibility, okay? Because you've already thrown the president's name under a bus. It has no value whatsoever at that point. You are just literally being against an individual for being against an individual. Because you're not even taking shot at anything specific other than his name at that point.
So like, you mean like when they purposely during the election were calling him Barack Osama?
Yes, things like that. Or when they like, if you're one of those people who has to throw the Hussein in there because you feel that that's really going to get it over to people that this guy is the Muslim terrorist.
Maybe they just respect his name and know that with his Muslim background, that they want to say the full name. Maybe that's out of respect.
That's good. I never even thought about that.
You're such a half glass full guy. Right. You're not seeing. Maybe it's a respectful
thing. No, he's a half glass empty.
It's just the
he's
other.
He's a half glass or half glass liberal. That's what he is.
So here's the problem. The problem is that once they get done saying the proper name, because they're so on his side, they do 99% crapping on him, okay? So on this argument here, the rant that I got is very simple, and I was talking to Pete before the show about this. We have a situation where everybody wants, if you're conservative specifically, you're like, we're not the world police. We don't police. Why do we have to be the world police? Why is it constantly got to be us? That costs money. And that's money that we need to be spending on fixing our own country. Our country's broken. We got millions of people out of work. We've got homeless. We got this. We're not the world police. We need to stop being the world police. And then the minute that Barack Obama decides he's not going to be the world police, he's going to maybe throw some sanctions out there. He's going to discuss things with Putin or whoever like that. You guys immediately go, why aren't we bombing him? Why aren't we taking nukes to his forehead immediately? Why aren't you starting fistfights and world policing on this Malaysian airline situation? Guys, that's hypocritical. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but you just named politics. They're all hypocrites. It's not one side.
You like to think that they're all hypocrites, but I don't think that they are.
Named, the liberals do too. Democrats do the exact same thing.
Give me an example.
The exact same thing. You were just complaining about how they use his name and make fun of it. They did the same thing to W.
But they did.
They did the same thing.
What happened with W was very simple. What happened with W was he had a lot of support going into the war. The war started. They never found Osama bin Laden. So when they didn't find Osama bin Laden, because he sold it to everybody as, we're going to go after Osama bin Laden. We're going to bring the guy who did this to justice. He literally didn't find that guy. So everybody started going, well, then why are we still over there? Well, now we're going after Saddam Hussein. Oh, okay, so now we're going after Uday and Qusay and Saddam and all them. And then when we got them, it was like, okay, so you didn't get Osama bin Laden, but you did get Uday and Qusay and all those guys. So now it's time to bring the troops home, right? No, we're not going to bring the troops home. They started to get bitter because the guy just kept changing his game plan. Like, and then they turned around by the end of his term and were like, this is horrible. And by the way, on top of it, gas is $4 a gallon, and I'm getting ready to lose my house. Literally, that's what happened. So, yes, they were angry with Bush for that reason. With Obama, none of that happened.
No. First off, stop. Absolutely disagree with you there. One of Obama's political promises, one of his big election promises, was going to bring home the troops. That's what he was going to do. Right when he got in office, he signed the extension. He signed almost every single thing that Bush already had in act and extended it after he said he wouldn't. So there you go. There's a hypocrite on his side, too.
I also are going to, but here's the difference. When we're having problems with Bush, we are 8 years into his reign as president of the United States. Like, we are not in the first few weeks or the first few months or even the first year of his reign. We are in the literal 6th, 7th, and 8th year when people start really having a problem with this. With Barack Obama, you make a good point. He didn't change that. But I think the difference between Barack and that you can argue to his defense is the fact that, yes, he's campaigning. When he's campaigning, they're not telling him everything that's going to happen the minute he becomes president. They're not letting him into the little secret rooms. They're not telling him all the little secret stories that they need to tell him. He doesn't get to have his meeting with George Bush that week leading up to the inauguration, where Bush shows him around to tell him about this. Because I've even talked about this on the show before. I really think that it goes like this. You make a bunch of promises to get elected, and you really want to do those things. And what happens is George Bush saddles on up to the table and he's like, hey, Barack, how you doing there, buddy?
Why are you sounding like Bill Clinton?
Barack.
I know, dude. I just got Barack, confused.
How you doing there? Hey, listen, I know you promised all those people you're going to bring them home, and you're going to bring the soldiers home, and we're not going to be over there in the Middle East no more. But let me show you a couple things. And then he introduces them to the Joint Chiefs, okay? And he introduces them to the little black books and the rooms and things like that. And they go, you know how you made all the promises about this over here? Well, you can't do that. And here's why. And these 10 men are going to tell you why. And then those 10 men sit there in front of a guy who's never met them before in his life. And they go, yeah, you won. Congratulations. That's great. But we can't do this. And this is why. And so, like, he has no choice but to change at that moment because he realizes he didn't know everything.
Well,
because that's called being a person.
You could do the same argument with George Bush, why he stayed over there. He didn't know when he first started that the war would go as long as it did, because we never went into a conflict exactly like this. It was unprecedented.
True.
You don't know.
True.
So people jumped on him because they thought he had this magic eight ball that was going to tell him how to start and finish it. So whenever certain things escalated, he had to adapt and overcome. It's both ways. And you just proved another point. A, politicians talk out of their ass because they don't really know what they're going to do when they get in. So you can't believe any campaign promise. And number two, it still doesn't explain why I brought up a point of the hypocrisy of, they made fun of his name and they made fun of Obama's name. That was the original. That didn't explain at all why it's okay for one side to do it and why it's not okay for the other
side.
Fair
enough. I understand where you're going. Like, I went a little deeper than the generalization of making fun of a name.
Yeah, you went way deeper.
Yeah.
You went way past it, and he just brought us right back to it.
I love it when the lawyer guy says, is that okay, though, for us to entertain and to talk to the people out there?
Can I sue him for his slander and libel of President George Bush?
No, I don't think that's okay.
Damn it, what can we sue for? I just want to sue for what?
I'm sorry,
America.
Yeah, he's a public figure, so he's open to much more scrutiny.
Okay, one of the other things I want to talk about is a situation that happened at Bobby's house the other night. tonight. Uh-oh. I don't understand what is wrong with our society. We've had Chucky in here, right? We've had Chucky in here.
Yeah. Dude, a world issue happened at Bobby's house. I have to hear about this.
No, I've talked at length on this about the fact that there tends to be this violence nature within the black culture. When we had Charles on here, we discussed the World Star Hip Hop thing and stuff like that. This is not something that's out of the realm. So the other night, I go over to Bobby's house to hang out with him to talk a little bit about show business and things like that. We're sitting out on the front porch. We're smoking a cigarette. We're just talking. And there happens to be a group of like four or five black guys at this corner tee, which they were black guys. That's not racist. This is me describing the situation.
If they were Chinese and you said yes, this, they'd be completely out of line.
Right. But here's the point. Here's the point.
And I'm pretty sure I could sue you. Right, Pete?
No, you can't sue everyone. Okay, stop. So anyway, we're sitting there for what, a good 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, just
about
talking.
Half hour.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we just hear them start arguing with each other, and it turns into...
Don't be running nowhere.
Come back
here,
and
boy.
And then all you hear is... and punches. And we look, and they're fighting. And they're just fighting in the middle of the street, like legit, and the dude got punched in the face, and he hit the ground hard on the side of his head. I really thought he got knocked out by the ground from how hard he hit. And then, you know, it was one of those things where he punched him and he started, like, guys, it was midnight in the middle of the most quietest
neighborhood.
It was the quietest neighborhood, like, literally, nothing going on. Nothing going on, but these four or five guys hanging out. They weren't even being loud.
It was perfectly silent.
It was
they were just having a quiet conversation.
We're doing our thing. Nobody's loud or anything. Wow. And then all of a sudden, it just in like a 5 minute section just escalated from blah, 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 to rah, 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 and then fist fighting. And then we were just watching the fist fighting and we're like, what? Why does it have to be that way?
But the best part is, as we're watching it, Mark looks at me and goes, should we call the police?
Yeah, should we call the police? Like, first off, it's one of those St. Louis unincorporated situations. So, like, it's going to take them forever to get there.
Let them deal with it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
You know what? That's a great point. But do you want to see the other side of that? Is if you want to see white people act the exact same way, go to St. Charles Main Street. And once they get alcohol in them, go to any bar. After 10:30, they will fight for some reason. And it will be buddies against buddies. Shirts come off. Their collared shirts get unbuttoned. Wow. Affliction shirts are torn.
Affliction
shirts.
There's
gel hair everywhere.
Those come pre-torn, don't they?
Yeah.
You don't even have to work hard on that one.
No.
It is. It's like that little stretch of like, and it's in St. Charles. Like, how bad was your life? That you came from like middle class and you went to good schools, you're just that angry that once you get alcohol in you, you have to fight. Like, I think that's like a small example.
No, my mom said we're going to St. Augusta. We're not going to the winery in St. James.
I did not have a Dodge Stratus. I drove a Chevy truck.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen,
who is the Sebring?
You run off nowhere.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, more with Peter Van Loon and Dan Walsh, myself, as well as producer Bobby. We'll be back on the queue after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland, producer Bobby, lawyer Peter Van Loon, as well as the Polar Vortex Dan Walsh, giving you guys all that ear candy. You're listening to us on 1380thex.com as well as 1380 on your AM radio dial every single Sunday. Would you stop moving the microphone?
I didn't even touch the microphone.
Don't touch the microphones. Darn it, Bobby. Damn, you ruin everything.
You yelled at for nothing.
No, I love you. I love you. Just maybe it's, but we got to be careful with the tables.
You know, today's my birthday.
Today is your birthday?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
26 years old today.
Wow. We did not know that it was your birthday. We should do something special
today's
for you.
Today's also my wife's birthday.
Wow. Well, happy birthday to Megan.
She's
also
9 hours older than me.
We should probably have Peter give you a lap dance. Yeah. I think that would be...
I'm glad this is radio.
Can you sue him for making you do that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you sue me for making... I'm not making you. But I didn't make you. I give an option.
That would be bad. That would definitely be unwanted.
Touching. In my opinion, I feel that you should.
Yes.
Yes. Now you can't sue me for anything. Yeah. Anyway, you're listening to us on 1380 every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as 1420 WINI NewsTalk1420.com every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. serving the great St. Louis metropolitan area, as well as throughout middle of Illinois, Chicago, yeah. Memphis, a lot of other places that play our show randomly yeah. here and there, and worldwide at theqnow.com. Bobby, we were talking off the air, and you are not happy right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to what you just mentioned, the greater St. Louis area.
Yes.
All right, so... if you're a wrestling fan, I'm going to do a little something that they call in wrestling called kayfabing.
You're going to kayfabe.
Where you kind of get to see behind the scenes, things like that. So besides working here at the Q as the executive producer, I have a second job, and I work at Busch Stadium.
Okay.
So driving home from Busch Stadium on my first day, I was very frustrated with the city of St. Louis.
Very frustrated with the city of St. Louis.
And here's why. Okay, you know, I'm working with these people who, you know, some of these people, this is actually their first job. Some of these people are retired.
Peter, can we sue the city of St. Louis?
No.
Okay.
No
okay.
Way. All
right. Some of these people, it's their first job. Some of these people, you know, they're retired.
At all?
And it's
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. You just said, no, we couldn't sue the city. What if they did something? What if they made you laugh at Bobby?
What if it's they made Bobby run?
I think Peter's getting uncomfortable about us asking him to lap dance.
Peter, what if the city of St. Louis started to try and make everybody call it Chicago?
That would never happen.
Okay, fair enough.
Listen, we didn't miss that, okay?
Bobby, continue on. Okay, continue on with your amazing
story. So, in the city of St. Louis, there's a lot of history here. It's a really cool town, whether people say so or not. It is a really cool town. In the city of St. Louis, if fur is imported into the United States, this is still the city that it comes to before it goes anywhere else.
Did not know that.
Just this place, this was the original capital of the United States. I mean, this place just has a lot of history. It's a really cool place to be. But here's where I have the problem. I'm tired of people in St. Louis talking negatively, but not trying to do anything to fix the situation. I'm sitting there the other day, and there's people sitting there going, you know, I'm just trying to collect money to get together so I can move down to Chicago, so I can move to Nashville, so I can move to Memphis, so I can move to Dallas. Quit trying to get money together to move out of a city. If you're going to complain about it, try and fix it, because you're probably part of the problem. You're the reason why the city of St. Louis looks like it's in shambles. This town used to be a great place. This was a destination place for a lot of people. And now nobody wants to come here because of people like these people that I'm talking about who are sitting there and they're getting frustrated because, you know, there ain't no good places to live. The schools are all unaccredited. You're the reason it's unaccredited, because of the fact that you don't care enough about your children's education. You don't care enough about this city to make sure that there's not graffiti on the buildings, to make sure that these places aren't being abandoned and looking like crap. Start to take pride in your town again. Quit trying to put it off on everybody else.
You
want to
knock them haters out, right?
I do.
You a headbuster?
I'm a headbanger. Headbuster. It really bothers me that these people are sitting there talking about, you know, well, the city used to be great. Well, it's not that the city used to be great. The city is still great, but it's up to you to make it great. And that's my whole thing. Quit worrying. You know, if you're going to live here, first off, you're never going to get the amount of money that you would like, because everyone has a dollar amount. You're never going to get that dollar amount that you want to move out of St. Louis. So quit worrying about it and just take advantage of the awesome things that you have here.
I think you make a great point. I think that this is, I know that I get on the show and I rail against the Cardinals and the Rams and all the different sports teams, right, and the people here. But I've lived here for my entire life, and I understand that there are things about St. Louis that I absolutely love. Now, Peter, you've been here how long? My entire life, yeah. And how much do you love the city of St. Louis?
I love the city of St. Louis.
In general, or just, you were like kind of unsure there. You're like,
I mean, I grew up a county boy, and, you know, I'm not going to lie about that.
But even growing up as a county boy, that still constitutes as loving this St. Louis.
Sure.
You know, and people can make fun of me for this. I'm a St. Louis Rams fan, but I'm not a St. Louis Rams fan first. I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. And the reason for that is because when I was a kid, you know, yes, the Rams came to St. Louis in 95.
Nobody's
going
to make fun of you about that because no one's paying attention to the Green Bay Packers at all.
Everybody's paying attention to the Green Bay Packers. They're the number three team in the preseason rankings. Get out of my face.
Keep talking about
that. But, you know, people are going to say, well, why don't you take pride in your city? You know, you're a Green Bay Packers fan. Well, I was a Green Bay Packers fan before the St. Louis Rams came. So I'm going to root for the Packers. And then, absolutely, I always check out the St. Louis Rams.
So basically, the point of your rail and your rant is simply take pride in your city, invest in ourselves, and therefore you'll probably be a lot happier with what you get out of it.
Absolutely.
That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
All right,
and we were just talking, real quick, we were talking about St. Louis sports. I'm going to get into another one real quick. I'm sick and tired. I'm really glad the St. Louis Rams drafted Michael Sam.
Okay.
To give him the chance. I think he's a great athlete. I think he can do well for the team.
Did you hear the story
I don't want to hear another thing about him being a gay man.
Okay, wait. Did you hear the story about the fact, but beyond that,
yeah,
that he's got like two brothers in prison, one that was shot, a sister that's homeless.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like
he grew up in Texas. He lived a hard life.
Yeah, like his entire, like he's got seven siblings and only one of them is still alive or not in jail or whatever.
One of them's
missing.
They did a special on ESPN E60 about Michael Sam.
That is so crazy to me.
It was a great story. The only problem I have is in the media, when they find something like this, they overdo it. Yes, he was drafted by the St. Louis Rams in the seventh round of the 2014.
But Dan loves the fact that he's gay. Dan loves it.
It's my favorite thing in the world that he's like next to individually.
He's wrapped. Been he's, talking to me about Michael Sam being players. Gay for hours and hours on end before you got here, Bobby.
I did. I wonder. I just asked if he ever went skiing. If you know what I'm talking about?
Some ski poles.
He had some ski poles.
Ski poles.
I just wonder these things. I mean, if you want to know about your athlete, you need to make sure they're well rounded. And you know, and is he just as dedicated to pursuing the physical heights in his sexuality as he is in football, because that's a testament of dedication, and I think it's a testament of character. I mean, if you ain't really willing to go skiing, I mean, what are you going to do for my team?
I interviewed people from our strongest demographic over in Asia, our new strong Asian demographic.
The People's Republic of China.
I interviewed some of the people the other day, and I asked them about Michael Sam being gay. And I just want to play one of these clips for you. Here we go.
We like the Michael Sam being a gay because the gays are a very make a Chinese people happy because the gay don't have a baby. So there's no more baby in China.
Yes.
There's too many a baby. More gay baby. Gay baby make a no baby.
Oh, yes. If gay people could have a Chinese gay baby, sir, would you be happy about the gay Chinese gay baby?
No more baby. Just the gay don't have a baby.
Not if it's female,
they
right?
They adopt a baby from China.
You don't want female babies?
No, too many a baby. Oh. There are a million baby in China.
Fair enough.
No gay no have no baby.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for talking to us, sir. Appreciate it.
No problem.
And there we go.
That was a great interview. With
amazing
that Asian
interview
man.
There.
I'm just curious.
Our Asian demographic is just exploding.
I'm just curious. Can the entire country of China now sue us for that?
Peter?
I don't think there are any deep pockets involved in this.
All right. So fair enough. You just don't want people to talk about the gay aspect of Michael Sam anymore. All right. Let's move on.
Go ahead.
Let's move on. Peter Van Loonen. You've been a lawyer. How long have you been a lawyer?
Since 2003.
2003. So
or 2001. I'd have to look at my...
That's quite a few years ago.
My license.
Where'd you go to school for that?
St. Louis University.
Ooh.
Smarty pants.
When you found out what a billiken was, did that throw you for a loop?
No.
What is a billiken?
Time out. What is a billiken?
It's an Eskimo demigod.
It's an Eskimo demigod.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is the billiken, or St. Louis U, and I didn't know this, is the second in the nation in philosophy.
Really?
So they're that deep in like philosophy. You think they would have been like, "Hey,
all the future baristas at Starbucks are going to graduate from SLU."
Yeah,
nice.
And then they're going to smoke a lot of weed and teach philosophy at other colleges.
Now, did you go straight out of high school to become a lawyer, or was it
right out of sixth grade?
Right out of sixth grade to be a lawyer?
Went right to SLU, yeah.
That's nice. That's a big jump there.
No,
you're like the Doogie Howser.
I got my master's in English from the University of Missouri, and then went on to SLU to round it all up, I guess.
And did you always want to be a lawyer, or was being a lawyer kind of like, you know, you just figured it seemed like it was something cool to do? Or what was your thought process when choosing this as a career?
I talk good. So
you talk.
I knew that.
I love how you start out with "I talk good."
I knew that I'd be able to go to SLU and become a lawyer.
All right. I think I'm going to be a lawyer now. Yeah, because I can talk good as well.
I talk more better than you.
And I like to argue, and I'm already finding out what you can and can't sue people for. By the end of this whole radio show, I think I'm going to be able to go to SLU.
Now, do you have a website for where people can check out?
I do. Basically, the only thing you have to do is Google STL Easy Ticket.
All right. STL Easy Ticket.
You'll find it.
So if if people have like parking tickets, speeding tickets, anything
parking
like that.
Parking tickets, no.
But speeding tickets?
Speeding tickets,
seatbelt
yes.
tickets?
No.
Damn it, I should have called Peter.
Oh, dude, I have a really serious question to ask you, Pete.
Go for it.
And this is honest to God. Okay.
So how much can you get my speeding ticket reduced to?
I ran into this situation and it's been very frustrating and it's lasted a couple years. Okay. Basically, I sold a car that had my license plate and everything on it. I bought a new car, got registered and everything. And I sold it to someone in my family, and we accidentally left the license plates in there. He goes and sells it again to just some random guy, and the guy is driving around with my license plates. So I've already, even in the camera, like it's all getting picked up on the camera, the traffic light, because he keeps running red lights.
Okay.
And you can actually see in the picture that this is an African-American male. So like I've called all of them, and I'm like, listen, I got registered. This car's no longer registered to me. And basically, the state of Missouri told me that if the car is not registered to you and you have plates on another car, that basically null and voids the plates anyways. So they can't, I mean, if you've made it known and you filed it somewhere, then they can't ever punish you for this.
But you keep getting punished?
So this is red light tickets that
you
keep getting?
Yeah, they keep trying to. And then I heard that the only place that they'll ever like issue a warrant for red light tickets is like in St. Peter's or something.
Yeah, that's true.
But this is the thing, like the plates are null and void because that car is no longer registered to me and I have a new car. And then we sign the car, title and everything, over to another person. So, and then they signed it over to someone else. So it's not
even. Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect defense that you don't own that car anymore, that, you know, they essentially aren't even your plates anymore.
Yeah, that's what I was told. But then they kept trying to tell me that it was and that I needed to owe them money. So
who's
I finally.
They?
The city of Florissant, the city of, yeah.
That's it, city of Florissant. You're done, buddy.
Yeah. And like,
Peter Van Loonen's on the case.
At one point, the lady wasn't even making like a reasonable argument. So I was kind of getting loud because I'm like, this doesn't even make sense. And she literally goes, stop, shut up. And then talk like it was really.
Who was this that did this?
This is the lady, who, like one of the police officers that answers the phone in Florissant Police Department.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, I'm not kidding. And it was like, I was so frustrated because I'm like, explain to me how. If the state of Missouri, like Jefferson City, they're telling me that because the car is no longer under those plates, that the plates are null and void, how you're still trying to get me to pay for an infraction that I didn't commit, even though I went to the city. Oh, and then the cities wouldn't even allow me to issue a stolen plate because it was because I accidentally left them on there. But still, null and void, the plates don't count. So everyone was just trying to like push me out to dry. And finally, one cool guy from O'Fallon, like, filed the actual report and everything and put them as like stolen plates, and that the guy was unauthorized, like was used because they tried to tell me if it weren't physically stolen, then it doesn't count as stolen plates. But he told me if it's on the car and it's being used when he's not supposed to, you still can file the report.
Well, they're not valid plates anymore. I don't understand why there's a problem.
Yeah. And this, and I mean, I was, dude, this took so long and they're still trying to send me the tickets and they're trying to like accumulate and get more money off of me and.
Ignore them.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Just so you know, I've gotten four of those tickets in Florissant and never paid them.
Well, like,
Peter, you're giving the big thumbs up there. Like, are you against the red light tickets?
Yes, I am against red light tickets.
Technically, on that paper, it says that no points will be issued.
Hold on. Why are you against red light tickets?
I think what cities are trying to do.
I'm actually for red light tickets to an extent.
I think that what cities are trying to do is change something that is a 2-point. Traffic infraction into a civil matter. And I just think that that's complete BS.
You don't think it's just people getting caught doing bad things and they knowingly are doing bad things and now they're angry that they're getting caught?
I mean, you can look at it that way. It's
I think that you have to look at it that way. I mean, but that's the way it works. No. Like, if a cop was sitting there with his own face in his eyes and he saw you do something bad, he'd pull you over and give you a ticket for
it. And you'd be able to go to an attorney and avoid points.
But you can't go to an attorney and avoid points?
No. I mean, with a red light ticket, you just have to send in your money.
I thought that you could go in front of the judge.
You can go in front of the judge and say, I wasn't driving.
Right, and then they just don't give you points. And so then they ask you
who's driving.
So,
oh man, my brother was. Okay, well, we'll issue it to him. You know, it's brother against do that brother, turning families on each other.
They did that for
it's
me.
It's just awful. My brother, it's just terrible.
It is. It's tearing families apart, Mark.
It is.
I think it's no. I have a problem with this because we have a society that's built on this idea that we have rules and we want rules to be applied, but we only want them to be applied when we want them to be applied.
Mark, what do you think is going to be accomplished by catching red light violators?
I'm not sitting there saying that there is anything being technically accomplished by other than the fact that if you do something wrong, you got caught doing something wrong, you need to pony up.
Yeah, but what about the fact that
I'm not saying you need to get points for it. Maybe they should change that rule, but I'm saying
no, you don't get points for it for a red light ticket.
They just want the money.
But you said at the beginning that it was
want your money.
But you said it was a 2 point to get turned into a civil matter.
Yeah, if you get busted by a cop running a red light.
Right. But we're talking about red light tickets as far as like the machines.
The only thing it does is try to attempt to collect money. That's all. It doesn't go on your license.
It changes a quasi-criminal act into a civil matter. That's what I don't like. You have rights under criminal law that you don't have in the civil
side. So what should be your rights? Your rights should be, if I want to run a red light, I should be allowed to.
No.
That's the right.
No, if you run a red light, there should be a cop there to catch you, not some camera so you can...
run a red light, I should be allowed to. That's the right.
No, if you run a red light, there should be a cop there to catch you. Not some camera so you can send, 20-30% of the funds down to Arizona out of state.
Okay, fair enough. I understand that.
But it's manipulating the way that
it's
due
just
process.
A cash grab.
Yeah.
It's not about safety, Mark. It's about money.
But they've proven that they have become safer intersections overall.
I haven't read up.
Of course. It always becomes...
I haven't read up.
Safer intersections. I want to read that. Because I still, whenever I'm driving to O'Fallon, I've seen more people nowadays almost hit an emergency vehicle while it's trying to go through an intersection than I've ever seen in my life.
But that's... When it comes to an emergency vehicle, they're blaring their horn and their lights and everything like that, regardless of a red light camera being there or not. That's just people not paying attention.
Your point was that there's safer intersections.
Right, but because of the red light cameras. Yes, overall. But they're not. The red light cameras don't discern between a vehicle that's going through just because it's a red light and a situation where an ambulance is coming through and you have to pay attention better.
What I'm doing is arguing the fact that you said they're safer overall. They can't be if people are less mindful of what's going through the intersection.
All right, here's how to explain this so that you understand. If 100% of the violations that can happen at an intersection, right? Some of them are going to be infractions of people hitting each other. Some are going to be people running red lights. Some are going to be like, it's broken down. That makes up 100%. When the 100%, this piece of it, let's say, makes up 30% of it, okay? 30% is red light being run by people with their cars. Okay, that's 30% of the overall 100%. If that 30% drops from 30% to 20% or 10% because red light cameras were implemented, the overall is better.
No, it
in
isn't.
In general, because it's now taken 30% away and dropped
that
it by
20%. That is the worst attempt to argue yourself. Because if one is increasing, even if the other one's going down, overall, it's not getting any better. If anything, it's probably still getting worse. If more people are getting hit by emergency vehicles than running a red light, guess what? Still dangerous.
That's assuming that there's a ton of people getting hit by emergency vehicles.
I think you're assuming that all infractions, like people mean to go through these red lights. You know, it's an accident.
No, I don't think that people are doing it on purpose. I'm assuming that there are people that are going through them on purpose. But it's not every person who goes through a red light is doing it on purpose. Sometimes it's just not paying attention.
So how does it make it safer?
Because the whole point is that people are just going to be more mindful the next time they come up to an intersection
except
with red lights.
There's an emergency vehicle?
No, you brought up the emergency
vehicle.
I'm
saying, overall, I think that's a BS statement because I'm watching more people be negligent in an intersection, regardless of a red light or a red light camera or not.
That's
you
what
said
it
overall,
is.
Overall, that's amazing safety.
It's negligence at a red light.
But we're talking about whether red light cameras actually do a job that is making things better or not. We're not talking about adding in whether people are paying attention in general.
But you made a statement that said, overall, they're making them safer. And I'm arguing that because I want to know where that's at. Because I don't believe an intersection is safer because of a red light camera.
With those red light cameras, you catch more people. You get more money.
Exactly.
You're the city, it's only you money make thing. Money doing
but
this.
But see, those cameras even catch, because some of the ones that I've gotten, they catch if you're just barely in front of that red line. Boop, red light camera shot.
Yeah, but they have a default. Like, they have people that go through the videos and they process it. Before
really?
They send your ticket yeah, out, a person has to look at it and see.
There's a cop that looks at it.
That looks at it and goes, oh, that person stopped. They just stopped a little late. They went five inches over the line or 10 inches over the line or whatever. And then the camera went off on them. So we're going to just call that one a day. That
yeah, but I've
count.
Got I've gotten three of them for that same purpose because usually the way that the camera works is it takes a picture. And then it takes a picture one second later to show that the vehicle's going through. It shows in the first picture the front of my car, but in the second picture it doesn't show anything.
Well, first off, it's
of
not just
that.
Pictures. Like, it's taking full video at all times. They have a video attached to every ticket. They don't need to just have pictures.
Well,
that's
they did a
video.
Horrible job editing for Bobby.
Maybe Bobby's just mad that he's unlucky.
Whatever.
That's what it really comes down
whatever.
To.
Whatever.
Bobby's just unlucky and he's not happy about it.
There's also other instances where people like emergency vehicles are trying to get through and a person makes a right to get out of their way and they've still gotten tickets for that.
All right. Here's okay. I understand where you're coming from, Dan. You like to argue with people because you love to argue. And
no,
I get it.
No, I just don't.
They're
I hate
not.
When,
listen, you
I
added,
hate when people make blind statements and say that it's
blind.
Proven,
it's not blind.
It's not.
That's research. That's
no,
a research
okay,
statement.
What's your research?
I will show
me your
show
research.
You the research. That's fine. That's not a problem.
Show me your research.
Show me the money.
And I swear to God, if it's Wikipedia,
I'm gonna go straight to Wikipedia right
well,
now.
Let's say.
Hold on. Pete, we're up against the break. We're up against the break.
Okay,
we're gonna take
okay.
it. When we come back, we'll let you explain what you wanted to explain. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland with our friend Peter Van Loonen, STL Easy Ticket. Search it through Google if you get a chance.
Peter is a great robotics dancer.
Yes, he is an amazing robotics dancer.
Right. He beats Terry Crews out any day.
It's
Terry Crews.
Bobby.
Yeah. And then, of course, Dan Walsh over there.
The king of all media.
He's not the king of all media. Okay,
I'm
done with that.
In Czechoslovakia.
Before we went to break, we were talking with Peter Van Loonen here on the show about, we were in the middle of a heated red light camera debate.
Red light
camera. And you were trying to say something to Dan.
Well, Dan brought up, making a right-hand turn. Through one of those intersections when there's an emergency vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you do get a hearing when you get issued these red light tickets. If you don't pay,
yeah,
they give you a date. You can go in and say, well, you know, because of the ambulance was trying to get past me, I went through this red light and turned right. And I can't even understand why a judge wouldn't throw that out.
Well, like also just a frustrating part would be if there was human eyes there. They would have seen that, and this guy wouldn't have even had to have gone down to actually argue his point.
Well, that's always my point.
No, I'll be the first one to say, like, listen, I understand that they write chicken shit tickets to everybody, okay? I'm not going to be the first one to jump on that and say, hey, police do a lot of chicken shitting, okay? And they go around just writing tickets. But, like, listen, we're in the middle of a quiet subdivision that tends to have a lot of pretty ruckus driving going through it on a constant basis. We talked about this early in Bobby's neighborhood where he's at. And here it is midnight, and it goes from literally just random people just hanging out and talking to full-fledged fist fight. 5-on-5 in the middle of the street. Okay.
Right.
So, like, you guys could be, like, going around and looking for problems like that instead of worrying about Dan and whether he's going to get hit by an ambulance.
No,
I'll be the first one to argue that.
What they should do is put up fist fight cameras on corners.
Yeah. Fist fight cameras.
They would make so much money from
WorldStar.
No.
I was going to say, I think they already do. It's called WorldStar.
Did I tell you my theory, Dan? That I want to go to a wrestling event and I just want to take my camera phone and run into random matches, run around the ring pointing the camera and going, world star, because it's like wrestling matches, yeah, and then run away real quick and post them to World Star Hip Hop.
Do it.
I think that would be awesome.
I'm totally on board with this.
I have a quick question for Peter real quick. Before
go
you
for
do
it, man.
Peter, is it illegal to
touch yourself in public?
Besides
Yes, it is illegal.
Okay.
Is it illegal to film a police officer or a, quote, public servant after they have requested that you not?
You know, that's a tough one. You know,
that's a moral dilemma right there.
I would say no.
It's not. Okay.
What if they are obstructing justice in some way? If the guy, like the police officer makes the argument that because you're standing there while he's trying to do something and you're filming him and he has to keep his eye on you, that in fact you're putting him in danger because he's not giving the proper attention to the actual key point that he was addressing.
Well, that's what we call in the legal profession baloney.
Yeah, my problem that I have with those videos you're talking about, Bobby, is the fact that in most cases, for those videos to come up, what has happened in most of the cases, not all of them.
Well, a lot of them
they've had an interaction with police,
right?
Or multiple interactions with police, and they get to the point where they go, you know what, I'm going to go and do this again. And as soon as they come up, I'm going to have the camera rolling so that everybody and their mama can see this. And it's like, no. At that point, you've stepped over the line as a citizen. Like, you are going out of your way to create the issue because you want to see something.
But a lot of times they start the video like 2 or 3 minutes into the interaction. So you don't see them pissing the officer off.
Yeah.
And all you see is the officer coming up and punching him in the face.
I've got to find this video. I think me and Dan talked about this on the show a few months ago, but there was the video of the guy.
The homeless guy?
Well, no. The situation with the house where they were doing a SWAT situation and the people pulled with their car. I think we might even played the video on the show. The people pulled with their car past the house 2 or 3 times, and then they parked off to the side, and they were just videotaping going down, and that's when the cops came up, and they were like, we need you to get out of your car. And they were basically trying to tell the people that they need to get out of there, and they're like, it's my First Amendment rights, and I'm a sovereign state of myself, and you can't do this. Ah, you know, and then they don't live by the same rules of the United States of America because they're sovereign states in themselves.
Are sovereign states legal?
Yes. They're sovereign. They're sovereign of themselves, and they don't have to abide by the laws of the United States.
Well, first of all, I mean, if you're driving, you're driving your car up on a hostage situation, and the cops tell
back and
you
forth
to get out of the way and stop coming onto the scene of the, you know,
right,
the situation, you need to leave the area.
Right. That's just common sense. That doesn't even need laws to prove. Right. Like, and that's just common sense.
That's the only one that I would be upset about, just because, like, if they're in a situation that could be dangerous and they got to keep their eyes on it, and then some person's just messing around because they want to prove a point, it's like,
right.
The fact that he's, because you could be somebody that's with this guy that could just pull up and shoot you. So right, he's got to keep his eye on you, and then he's not giving full attention. So now you just made this guy, you put him in a way more dangerous situation. And that's when I have a problem with it.
Okay. Last thing for Peter that I have.
Okay.
Border Patrol.
Uh-huh. All right.
With like in the middle of the state of Texas. Is that legal? Do we have to show or prove our citizenship?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Question for you, Peter. Last question. Is it okay for the black president of the United States to force you to become gay and marry an illegal alien coming over from Mexico? Go.
Could you ask that again? Did you say the black president?
The black president of the United States is going to force you to become gay. And then with those rights, you're going to have to marry an illegal alien coming over from Mexico.
So you have to marry a man in Mexico.
I mean, is he cute?
Yeah. It's possible he's
Eduardo
very cute.
Because he could have been doing a favor.
If he's guapo, you know.
He's guapo?
Si, es muy guapo. No es feo.
Oh, es feo guapo. All right, guys.
And I know a little Spanish.
All right, so check this out. A Twin Cities man is upset by the way his family was treated on a Southwest Airlines flight because of a tweet. Duff Watson, love that
Twin
name.
City.
Duff Watson,
Festus and Arnold.
Right there. I don't even hear the rest of the story.
His name is Duff Watson. Duff Watson says he was asked to deboard a flight from Denver to Minneapolis with his two kids on this past Sunday after an agent didn't like a tweet he wrote about her service. Watson said the agent had a disagreement with him before boarding initially. I was left, you know, very upset, very embarrassed, very humiliated, Watson said. He's an A-list passenger, which means he gets priority boarding, but a gate agent wouldn't let his 6-year-old and 9-year-old board with him. Of course, he's the parent, obviously. Mm. So they'd all have to wait to board later. In leaving, I said, you know, real nice way to treat an A-list. I'll be sure to tweet about it. And that's just what Watson did. Something to the effect of, wow, rudest agent in Denver, Kimberly S., gate scene 39, not happy at SWA, which is Southwest's tweet handle, he said. Soon after getting their seats, the family of the three was asked to leave the plane. She said her safety felt threatened at that point because of what I had tweeted, Watson stated. Watson's daughter, Lucy, said she feared for her father. She said, I'm going to call the cops, Lucy said. I thought something bad was going to happen, like my dad was going to go to jail. Watson says that at that point, his children started to cry. He doesn't understand why his family was targeted. There was no use of profanity. There were no threats made. There was nothing other than, you know, a terse exchange between a customer service agent and a customer, he said. Watson says he was forced to delete the tweet. She said, you can't board the plane unless you delete that tweet, Watson refrained. Southwest Airlines sent a statement which confirmed the customer was removed for a short time and continued on to Minneapolis. They also said that the incident is under review. In an email to Watson, Southwest apologized for the incident because of the confidentiality concerns. They could not disclose any disciplinary action that was being taken. Watson says he is not satisfied with their response. All three received $50 vouchers, but Watson says he won't.
$50.
Says he won't fly Southwest Airlines again. Okay, two things here. One, Southwest Airlines, you're just a piece of crap at this point, in my book.
Okay,
first off, Pete, let's ask you. Do you feel he should have been removed from that flight?
No.
For the tweet that he sent out that basically said, you gave me bad service.
No.
This is who you are and this is where you're at.
Not at all.
Okay, but in that stance, there's a clause on your receipt that says that they can remove, that they reserve the right to allow people to fly on their aircraft.
True.
So they can remove anyone from their aircraft.
Of course, they can deny business at any time. Yeah, they're a private company. They can do whatever.
Stupid.
It was stupid. It was stupid because it's going to be a bigger PR nightmare than they're going to be willing to deal with.
Correct. It's just dumb.
Yeah, I think it's stupid. The other thing I have a problem with from the story is the $50 voucher.
Yeah, okay, that's offensive.
I'm sick of these damn airlines going out of their way to give you cheesy crap vouchers. Did I ever tell my Delta story?
Hey, you leave Delta Airlines alone. They were great to me.
Shut up. Did you ever hear my Delta story?
No, they gave me $300.
Check this out.
I think we're about to hear a few years ago,
a few years ago, you know how the rule is that you can have a carry-on bag, right? And it doesn't cost you anything to put it underneath.
But it has to be a certain size.
Sure. Listen, hold on. Calm down. Okay. Let me tell my story and let everybody listen to it, okay?
Jesus.
So anyway, I'm on my way back from Las Vegas. It was an MMA event that I was doing play-by-play for, and I was running a little late, but I got to the plane on time and everything. As I am leaving from getting my tickets from the ticket lady, right?
Right.
As I'm starting to roll away with my bag, she goes, oh, no, sir. I'm going to need to check that bag size. I said, well, the bag's fine. I know for a fact that it's fine because it fit on the way here. Like, it's fine. Well, I need you to check that bag. Now, so I take the bag, and it's got to go, you know, they have this like pre-set up
box
right, that you have to put it into. And if it doesn't fit into that box, then you're screwed. Okay. So I put it into the box. And as it's going in, what catches, you know how you got like multiple outer pockets?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? One of the outer pockets caught on the bottom edge and it wasn't bulged out. It was just like the pocket wasn't being used for anything. It just caught on the bottom edge. And it was one of those, just take it and tuck it a little bit, like literally like a half of an inch or less, you know, and then it would have just slid right in. It was one of those, just an unused pocket. Well, no, that became an entire fiasco where they refused to allow me to board the flight unless I paid the $25 or $50 extra to check it underneath with the other baggage.
Ridiculous.
Which was absolutely ridiculous. Well, this is where it gets worse. So I begrudgingly decide to go ahead and pay the $25, I think, or $30 or whatever it was. I pay the money to get it checked underneath, which, by the way, for everybody out there, if you don't know this, if you go to one of these airlines and you don't have any more overhead compartment, they just ask you to set your bag at the front, and then they check it for free underneath with all the other bags. So you know what I do now? I just wait until late, and then I just walk up and put my bag up there and let them check it for free. So go ahead and do that. Because I want you to, and I want you to screw over Delta and Southwest Airlines and all of them, okay? I don't care how much you love them, okay? All right?
They were so good to me.
He got so serious when he stared at you.
I called over to Delta Airlines to get my money back on this situation. They refused, and you know what they wanted to do because they didn't want the public relations nightmare? They were willing to offer me $75 in vouchers to be used at any time as opposed to like crediting me back my $25 on my credit card. which is what they said that they would give me my money back technically, but they weren't going to give me my money back. They were going to give me $75 in vouchers that I could use towards the purchase of another Delta Airlines ticket. I'm like, I'm not using you at all. I'm not going anywhere with you. I'm going to go to Southwest where they just build the prop. That, what happened? 9/11 happened. And then all of a sudden, out of absolutely nowhere, they decided, you know what? We don't want you to bring clothes with you when you go to vacations. We want you, right. Like, because everybody who gets on a plane doesn't need clothes.
And if you bring clothes, don't bring anything to clean your teeth, hair, or body with.
We don't need any of that. What we need you to do is to pay to be able to bring clothing with you for trips to places, okay? That's so stupid to me. Either build that price that you're trying to jack people for, because that's what I look at. You talk about money grabs earlier.
Yeah.
That's what I look at it as. It's just a way to get a money grab. Either build that price into the ticket price right off the top so that I don't see it and you just raised your ticket prices. Don't separate it out because that's just being a D-bag.
Have some gentlemanly behavior when you're screwing people out of
their
money.
Yeah.
At least make us just not know it's happening.
Delta was really, really cool to me. I lived in Baltimore for a year and I was coming home.
Right.
And on the way home,
yep,
they overbooked the flight. So they asked if anybody would be willing to.
How do they overbook flights? Computer control.
No,
literally.
They always.
Doesn't make sense. We have so many seats.
Does make sense.
No. We have so many seats. Literally, the computer says we have this many seats. Then we have all the people's information that comes into the computer system and says, well, this seat's taken. All the seats are taken, and then all of a sudden, the flight's overbooked. And it's like, how did you sell seats you didn't even have?
No.
How?
What they usually do is half the aircraft, after they sell the aircraft, half of it, or some companies, they sell a quarter, they oversell that amount. Because if that many people miss the flight, then those other people can get on. But what they always will do, for the most part, like this is what Delta's done twice for me, they overbooked the flight when I left from Baltimore to come back to St. Louis and St. Louis back to Baltimore. They gave me $150 vouchers for food and stuff to eat during the time that I had to wait to get on my next flight. So they paid for my food and everything instead of me having to pay for it.
You know what Delta did for me, and I'm not kidding. I'm not sure. Just trying to get under your skin.
No, go ahead, man.
When I was doing the show for MTV,
loved you.
We missed our flight. So they're trying to get us back to St. Louis, and like there was no flights. So they basically got me on Delta. Like the people in charge got me on Delta.
Did you find the jump seat?
I used my military ID as my identification at the time. And they put me in first class. Didn't even.
That's really nice of them. I'm not saying that all these airlines are D-bags at all times. But what I'm saying is Southwest has a tendency with the Kevin Smith situation. Now we have the Southwest tweet situation. Southwest has this tendency to be D-bags.
Didn't they?
My story was with Delta.
Yeah. Didn't Southwest make Kevin Smith pay for two seats?
Yeah, well, they said he was too fat to fly. He was going to have to pay for two seats if he wanted to continue on. And he was fitting fine within the seat that he was in. They just said because there's a rule that basically says that you have to fit with, once again, another situation of a container. And if you don't fit into it, we're going to charge you.
The world's because we're just jerks. About containers now and what
all right,
we have
that's
to fit
it.
Into.
I'm moving on to moral dilemmas. Are you guys ready?
I thought we were just handling it.
Do you know what a moral dilemma
there.
Is?
I thought we were in the moral dilemmas already.
That seemed pretty, like we were fixing stuff there.
Look,
I want
to play this little game. We'll do some here before we hit the bottom of the hour, and then maybe we'll do a couple at the top of the next half hour.
Okay.
But I want to do some moral dilemmas. Does everybody out there understand what a moral dilemma is? Peter, explain to people what a moral dilemma is.
Oh, no, I think you should, Mark.
A moral dilemma is basically a situation where something is going awry, and you have to make a choice between two situations that normally should conflict with each other. That's the whole point of a moral dilemma. And it requires your ideology, your mores, all that to be used to make that decision.
So are we talking about there's a burning building, you have to run in, you can only save one of them.
But it's Miley Cyrus in there.
You only can save
daughter.
One of them. Do you save the children or do you save the animals?
Right. Sort of kind of like Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Yes. Good call.
Save the people. That one wasn't even.
So here we go.
Actually, I saved the animals. I hate
this
people.
Is a tough one. This is a tough one. You are an emergency worker that has just been called to the scene of an accident. When you arrive, you see that the car belongs to your wife. Fearing the worst, you rush over to see that she is trapped in a car with another man. She sees you, and although barely conscious, she manages to mouth the words, "I'm sorry" to you. You don't understand, but you look her answer. But her look answers your question. The man next to her is her lover with whom she's been having an affair with. You reel back in shock, devastated by what her eyes have just told you. As you step back, the wreck in front of you comes into focus. You see your wife is seriously hurt and she needs attention straight away. Even if she gets attention, there's a very high chance she'll die. You look at the seat next to her and you see her lover. He's bleeding heavily from a wound to the neck, and you see you need to stem the flow of blood immediately. It will only take about 5 minutes to stop, but it will mean your wife will definitely die. If you tend to your wife, however, the man will bleed to death despite the fact that it could have been avoided. So who do you choose to work on? Your wife that just you found out, blowing your mind that she cheated on you, or her lover? Either way, one of these people is going to potentially die.
Okay, I've never been in the military, but I have a friend who is a military medic.
Yes.
And what you're supposed to do is assess the situation, mm-hmm. and the person who is more likely to survive from aid is the first person, from what I'm told, you're supposed to deal with.
Who gets it.
So, yes.
The one who's more likely to die?
No, the one that's more likely to survive.
So, in this case,
it would be the lover. So, you take
care
of
it. But it's your wife.
It doesn't matter. It's your job. Your wife may pass.
Oh, but no.
Pay bills.
There is, that's where the moral dilemma comes in.
Yeah, like, what about your marriage vows?
Yeah, you have marriage vows. You have very high end things you have to take into account.
She violated the marriage
vows.
Yeah,
she violated her marriage vows.
Yeah, null and void. She dies.
Null and void.
No booyah. No booms.
Boom!
Stop that. You get a hammer and you kill her quicker.
But no, in that case, Dan.
And then you call
Dan,
Pete. Because what would you're going to need his help.
Dan, in that case, what do you do? Do you save your wife or do you save the lover who has got a better chance?
Honestly, because he has the better chance, you're going to try to save him anyways. Number two, he's got to live with the fact that he had sex with your wife and you saved his life.
I think and what you should do is like you drag both bodies out of the car, you take her hand, slap it on his neck, and then you save both of them.
That's a potential. It's like come on, wake up.
Hey, hold on to that guy's neck. You've been holding on to more than that lately.
Yeah.
Remember the other night?
Bobby, you're going to save the lover.
Save the lover first.
I'm going to try I'm sorry.
Save the lover too.
I'm going to save my wife. I'm sorry, guys, to disagree with you because the thing is that maybe we have two or three children. It's possible that we have many, many years of relationship together and stuff like that. I have to take into account a lot of things, and I don't give a crap about this dude that was cheating on my wife, but there's a lot more people in my life directly that are going to be affected by the loss of my wife than some random guy.
But it's your job.
Yeah, you're violating your
either
entire
way,
duty.
I'm screwed. Whether I save my wife or I save that guy, either way, somebody's going to die.
Well,
my
about,
job is to save somebody.
How
yeah,
about
but
this?
You made an oath to state that you would, outside of your own personal interest, that you would save people. It can't matter about your own personal interest. You're a servant of the people.
Is he a cute Mexican?
No, it's not a cute Mexican or an LGBT person.
That would change things.
It would. It could be Bobby naked. Could be Bobby. Could be Dan Walsh in a car together. Dan's going to have 5 minutes to live. And then Bobby. Like,
are we lovers now?
You guys are lovers.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I get caught in that scenario, just let me die. And don't you tell anybody. I'll be like, save him and shut up.
Well, like as a doctor, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to deliver your own children. If you're an OB, you're not allowed to deliver your own children.
So, I didn't know that was a rule.
Absolutely.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah. It's a conflict of interest to just deliver babies?
Well, no. It's a conflict of interest to deliver your own.
Yeah.
Because what happens if my wife, who I'm not the doctor, and your wife go into labor at the same time? You're going to choose her over my wife. So they null and void that. You are not allowed to be your own wife, essentially, as OB, if you're a gynecologist.
I don't know, man. I feel like in that situation, there's just so much more history
lover.
And background.
Lover, booyaka.
But I'm just saying, I know you want to just save, like, you hate your wife. I get it. You hate
no,
your wife, Bobby.
I love like my wife, no, but you, I love my job and making sure no, I can take care of my kids.
If
my wife dies, I have to be the one that supports
in this
them.
In this case, you put Megan in that situation. Megan is going to die.
Yes.
And she cheated on you with the lover you're going to save. How do you look Sierra and your daughter, Joe, in the face, and your son, as they grow up and say, I had a chance to save your mom, I chose not to?
Here's the better question. How do I look my kids in the face and tell them, sorry, guys, we're not going to have a Christmas, we're not going to have a house to live in because daddy saved mommy who was
cheating on him?
Yeah, but they have their mom.
Who didn't care about you enough to be at home. She was out with Dan Walsh instead.
Oh, Jesus.
Listen, here's the thing.
Your slut mother.
Wow.
Like, that's the thing. Like, let her die
he
a hero.
He just threw his wife, Megan, under the bus. By putting her into that situation, he's like, yeah, I'll let her die.
You
I don't
let
care.
Your wife, sometimes you got to let them die heroes so that they're, because eventually they're going to find out that their mom's a slut.
Pain hurts. And that's stick worse. Scars. But glory will last forever.
Yeah.
On that note right there, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more moral dilemmas and discuss these things here on The Q. Make sure you check out Muni.org. They have awesome, awesome plays and musicals and everything else coming up. The Seussical's coming up.
Seussical, Grease, yep. And Hello Dolly.
And Hello Dolly, all coming up. Muni.org. We will be back on The Q right after this.
You know what I just did? I just walked out that door, saw a couple detectives, and I was about to start bad-mouthing you behind your back. But I stopped myself because my pops taught me that a man who talks behind somebody's back is a coward.
Wow, I actually appreciate that.
Good, because I'm going to tell you directly to your face.
No, you don't have to.
No, I don't like you. I think you're a fake cop. The sound of your piss hitting the urinal? It sounds feminine. Mm-hmm. If we were in the wild, I would attack you. Even if you weren't in my food chain, I would go out of my way to attack you. If I were a lion and you were a tuna, I would swim out in the middle of the ocean and freaking eat you. And then I'd bang your tuna girlfriend.
Okay, first off, a lion swimming in the ocean? Lions don't like water. If you'd placed it near a river or some sort of fresh water source, that makes sense. But you find yourself in the ocean, 20-foot waves, I'm assuming it's off the coast of South Africa, coming up against a full-grown 800-pound tuna with his 20 or 30 friends, you lose that battle. You lose that battle 9 times out of 10. And guess what? You've wandered into our school of tuna, and we now have a taste of lion. We've talked to ourselves. We've communicated and said, you know what? Lion tastes good. Let's go get some more lion. We've developed a system to establish a beachhead and aggressively hunt you and your family. And we will corner your pride, your children, your
offspring.
How are
you going to do that?
We will construct a series of breathing apparatus with kelp. We'll be able to trap certain amounts of oxygen. It's not going to be days at a time, but an hour, hour 45, no problem. That will give us enough time to figure out where you live, go back to the sea, get more oxygen, and then stalk you. You just lost your own game. You're outgunned and outmanned. Did that go the way you thought it was going to go? Nope.
Oh! Oh! Don't!
Welcome back to The Q. TheQNow.com is where you can find us on the worldwide interwebs with the Lycoses and the free AOL discs that you get in the mail every single week.
And the Earthlinks.
And the Earthlinks and your web crawler. You make sure you got your Mosaic web browser ready to rock and roll there.
Don't forget Juno.
Yeah, you got to get your Juno mail. Get your Juno mail. And
dial up, baby.
You can also contact us. We have a contact section on TheQNow.com. Hit us up. That's where we talk to people, and they send us letters. I have a piece of hate mail I might read. I'm probably going to read it in overtime, but let's get back to our moral dilemmas here, gentlemen. Are you ready? Which, by the way, we're joined today, Peter Van Loonen, producer Bobby, Dan Walsh over there.
And, Dan Walsh, the wife stealer?
No, the wife stealer.
But the survivor.
He did survive. He did survive. I definitely want to knock out a couple more of these moral dilemmas. Okay. Let's see what you guys think about these bad boys right here. So if you're just tuning in, we are discussing moral dilemmas and what we would do in these cases, okay? So a madman who has threatened to explode several bombs in a crowded area has been apprehended. Unfortunately, he has already planted the bombs and they are scheduled to go off in a short time. It is possible that hundreds of people may die. The authorities cannot make him divulge the location of the bombs by conventional methods. He refuses to say anything and requests a lawyer to protect his Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. In exasperation, some high-level officials suggest torture. This would be illegal, of course, but the officials think that is nevertheless the right thing to do in this desperate situation. Do you agree? If you do, would it also be morally justifiable to torture the mad bomber's innocent wife if that is the only way to make him talk? Why?
Well, if he's not American, absolutely.
If he's
as
not American.
As soon as he becomes American, all hell breaks loose. You can't do anything.
Okay,
you can't
let's
touch
assume
him.
It's an American citizen. They are stating that they are pleading their fifth, right? They don't want to self-incriminate.
F-I-F.
But they have...
Fifth.
But this is like die harder or whatever it
no,
is.
No, you can't. Morally, you can't do anything. The repercussions that are going to happen to, A, the country by allowing that to happen, plus it's going to go through Supreme Court. It's going to go through all this stuff to be able to get it constitutionally approved that we can torture this guy in this way.
Okay, but the question is do we bypass the law for the moment to save hundreds and hundreds of lives? One person for torturing. We're torturing him. We're not killing him. We're torturing him, but to save hundreds and hundreds of people's lives, we're willing to take that notch on our belt.
This is what it comes down to. This okay, is the way I see it.
How would Dan handle it?
You torture him. Torture him like crazy. Have fun with it. Giggle while you do it. Get a clown to do it or a guy dressed as a clown to torture him like that.
Could we then, get Peter Van Leeuwen
then you go and you torture his wife if he doesn't talk. You torture her in front of him. Because the way I see it is if I can save thousands of people, it's worth getting cornholed in prison.
Oh, there you go. There's always that piece.
I mean, that's really what we're all scared of.
Well.
I mean, I think that there would be a lot of people that would probably back your decision. Where do you stand on this, Pete?
Well, I don't like torture. We shouldn't torture anybody. If you're in the United States, then you do all the protections that the Constitution offers.
Yep.
If you're in this country, you're protected by this country's laws.
So you would allow hundreds of people to die via five bomb blasts because you want to stand by the in this country due process?
No, first I'd try oatmeal cookies.
Okay, fair enough. Oatmeal cookies.
What if they like gooey butter cake?
Bobby would tell. He'd fold right there.
He would fold.
Maybe
Bobby would fold maybe on a chicken them. Leg. A yeah. chicken leg. The chicken of the cave.
He would.
Maybe invite them to watch Anchorman 2.
Okay. All right.
You want them to talk, you have them watch From Justin to Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's true. That was a really good movie, though. It was a good day.
How about The Human Centipede? You could start that.
Those were also good days in our lives.
Yes.
Good days in our lives.
No, you shouldn't torture anybody. It's just bad. It makes us evil.
We're not evil. I would say in this case, though, torture. I would say torture. We got a mad bomber, okay? This person is going out of their way in an evil, vindictive way to set up bombs to kill mass amounts of human beings.
Well, first of all, the information you get as a result of torture is extremely unreliable.
Okay. All right.
Who knows that he's actually going to give the correct information?
Yeah.
We'll know if we get through the bombs.
The bombs are at the St. Louis
Zoo. It's for the sake of trying.
Stop beating me.
But if they're not there, you go back
and you beat him again.
Well, at least
he gets a break.
And guys, let's not ignore the true thing here. It's fun to torture people. It may be wrong.
I mean, I don't know.
But I've seen
enough lesbian porn to know it's fun to torture people every once in a while.
You know, is still good even if you're on a diet.
We're talking about cookies still.
Yeah. Oh my goodness!
Yeah. You brought up oatmeal cookies and got stuck in my head.
That one was pretty easy.
Oatmeal cookies with the frosting.
That wasn't easy because he said torture. I said torture. Bobby said torture. No torture.
Nope.
No.
Based upon the Constitution.
So
right.
It was a split. It was split moral decisions.
You know what? I went to war for this country, and I say torture.
All right, fair enough. Okay, last one for you guys here, okay? You are on a cruise ship when there is a fire on board, and the ship has to be abandoned.
Jump.
The lifeboats are carrying many more people than they were designed to carry. The lifeboat you are on is sitting dangerously low in the water, a few inches lower than, and it will sink. The seas start to get rough, and the boat begins to fill with water. A group of old people are in the water and ask you to throw them a rope so that they can come aboard the lifeboat. It seems to you that the boat will sink if you take on any more passengers. Should you refuse to throw the rope in order to save yourself and the other lifeboat passengers? Or do we let just people die from drowning?
Well, if it's so basically
I'm pretty sure we've heard of this event before.
This is easy.
This is
if you take on more people, then that boat goes down and everybody dies. So you just leave the old people floating.
We just leave the old people floating.
Yeah. They've had a good run.
Well, maybe not.
Well, maybe they're 50 years old. Maybe
everybody dies if they get on that boat.
That's true. You know what I say they do?
So they're in just the same situation as they would be.
They're kind of in the same situation. I agree.
I think they should find the two fattest the two fattest people on a boat, and then they eat them.
So what you're saying is,
they just eat a part of them.
What'd you say about eating?
Would you stop it with the eating, man?
Well, fat people are tender. So it's better meat.
Not always, and they're
the majority of the weight.
Let's say, Bobby, listen, it's been a month and a half. We are stranded on a mountaintop. It's the four of us. Oh. Bobby is starting to look delicious.
I can promise you I would kill all of you first because I would become hungry first.
But here's the problem.
You would actually have to kill us.
You'd have to catch us.
I can promise you. I'm hungry. I come up with some crazy stuff.
Uh-huh.
You better watch out.
Bobby, really weird. Right now,
if you're starving, I'm going to run 50 yards, and I want you to follow me.
You run 50 yards into that trap I've already set up for you, Arnold.
That's all I want you to do. If you can do that, I will buy
Is this where you got the tuna fish? Is this where you got the tuna fish that can eat the lions, like in the other guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I will construct the breathing apparatus. I won't be able to be on shore if you're, you know.
That is so funny. Oh, my goodness.
Just so you know, I'm more agile than you think I am.
Oh, my goodness. Bobby.
Doubtless.
Well, let's do a game on, game off. We haven't done this in quite a while, and it's time for us to do a little game off, game on here on the show. The basis of game on, game off is very simple. We tell you new, cool, hip things. Bobby, don't breathe on the mic. We tell you new, cool, hip things to do if you would like to check them out because we think that they're going to break through to the mainstream and be really, really awesome and something that you want to know about in your life. If not, we also have game off. These are things that are going on in society or things that we notice, social mores, all kinds of stuff that we feel you need to quit doing. When we had Jordan Grace on, she said, stop twerking. That was a really good one. When we had Bobby on, it's... Game on.
Game respect. On respect. Game off disrespect.
Dick respect. Okay. Yeah, that's great. Okay. All right. So anyway.
Gotta make sure you respect
Bobby,
people.
Do you have a game on, game off this week?
Yes, I have a game on.
What is your game on, sir?
My game on is a song and a group. I started listening to the group after I heard the song, but it's a group called the Brothers Osborne. And they have a song called Rum. It's a country song. I'm a country fan. But it is a great, great little song. You know, just Mark would make fun of it because it's one of them backwoods songs. But it's just a really cool song to sit there and enjoy and sit around, you know, maybe a bonfire and drink a few Bush beers and talk about your hunting adventure. And
with your camo jacket on.
With your camo jacket. But, no, honestly, though, it is a really cool song. I really do like it.
All right, well, let's do it here for a second.
Staring at the prettiest part of this powder keg world. Sitting at the finest example of a beautiful girl. If we hadn't hit the bricks, we'd have no idea. Paradise was hiding right here. Dipping our toes in the water. I don't care if it gets any hotter. It's you and me remembering
I'm in.
How to have fun.
I like it. I'll be one of the first to say I like it. It's good. Solid.
It's a great song, and they've got an album that's coming out a little bit later this year, so check them out. It's called The Brothers Osborne.
Brothers Osborne, the song is called Rum. Well, that leads us to your game off, sir. What is it that you would like to game off other than breathing through the microphone heavily?
No. Game off, I hate with a passion recently. My wife has started to do this. And
Your dead wife, the one that you chose to not save, yes.
That I chose to save Dan Walsh.
But Dan's alive.
But Dan's alive, so that's good.
No, my wife has started doing this a lot lately, and I actually, I got really mad at her, and I told her to stop doing
this. Asking you to take the trash out? Is that what
you get? I do not like secondhand hand-me-down stuff. Now, here's what I mean. If your friend has a baby, and... you give them the clothes that you're not using anymore. Absolutely. But if you're sitting there just trying to, you know what? I need to make some money. So I'm going to sell my iPod Shuffle, but I use my iPod Shuffle every day. Like, to me, it's just trashy to turn around and go, let me post this up on Craigslist or on the North County buy, sell, trade website on Facebook.
Okay.
I just think it's trashy.
You think it's trashy to just sell your clothes secondhanded, but then we have Goodwills that exist that serve this purpose directly.
Yes, but there's a purpose for that. I just think it's trashy the way that these people are doing it on like the Hazel or the North County Buy Sell Here and Trade.
Are you
Facebook.
Afraid that they're not washing the clothes? They're not clean? What's your?
Yeah, I just think it's unsanitary. Mainly. Okay,
right. They're dirty people,
and it bothers
dirty North County St. Louis people. that went to Hazelwood Central in McClure High School. I get it. No, I understand where you're coming from. That's not a problem.
You go to McClure North.
Yeah, it's not a problem. All right, fair enough. Peter Van Loonen.
Yes.
Do you have a game on for us this week,
I do.
Sir? What is your game on?
My game on is called Single Malt Scotch.
Single Malt Scotch.
He said single, and I thought he was going to say single
malt.
Now,
here's the thing. Dan Walsh has gone on multiple times on our show to let people know that he has a past history with alcohol. Mm-hmm. And, Dan, where were you with Single Malt Scotch?
But I'll be honest with you, Single Malt Scotch is pretty good.
Yeah, you love it.
That's pretty good.
I was going to ask you what you thought about Single Malt when you were drinking the way you did.
I wasn't a big Scotch man, but I mean, if it was good, I would enjoy it. If I was sitting, and honestly, this is probably why I've tried almost every alcohol out there, is because if I am drinking with somebody who is a fan of Scotch, I will try it because I want to know why they enjoy it so much. But so, like, even though it's not my drink of choice or wasn't my drink of choice, I would still say that, like, it's good stuff.
What about you? No, so what is it like, about Single Malt Scotch?
But
well, I mean, when you talk about bourbons, there's a bourbon taste, but when it comes to Scotch, the tastes between one bottle to the next, it's so different.
That's what's the problem with me, I guess. I just don't have an alcohol like lip or a tongue because it all tastes like alcohol to me. Like if you could pour an $1,800 bottle of Scotch or a $5 bottle from freaking Quick Trip, and literally I couldn't tell the difference between the two. Like, it just tastes like alcohol to me.
Nah, you would definitely tell a difference.
But the difference to me would not be the difference to you. He probably tastes flavors in there.
I
don't taste flavors. It might be a little harsher and a little bit more alcohol-y tasting to me, and that's all the only difference I taste.
Well, now, I've tried to get you to come before, Mark.
Right.
But, you know, on Facebook, if you look it up on Facebook, there's the St. Louis Single Malt Scotch Club.
That you run.
That I run.
Yep.
And I invite everybody to take a look at that on Facebook.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And if they want to become a member, all you have to do is bring a bottle for inventory, and you're in like Flynn.
You're
sitting
like
there
Flynn.
At the next
on
tasting,
like
tasting all sorts of scotches that you've never
How
heard of.
How often do you do
and
this?
And you have no chance of pronouncing correctly.
How often do you do this?
I do it quarterly, about four times a year.
Okay.
I try to do it more often. But I also have a bourbon club.
Do you have a place where you do this at specifically?
I do this at my office, actually.
All right.
So,
all right. Game on single malt scotches.
Single malt scotches.
What's your game off? Do you have
my game off is a new term that's becoming popular, and it's thought.
THOT,
meaning that hoe over there.
Oh. Urban culture.
It is awesome to hear the lawyer say that.
I just think that it's stupid.
It is stupid.
And
it's
it
a
sounds
dumb statement.
Like the word thought.
Yeah.
You know, and when white people say it, especially, hey, you know, I thought that thought over there was a real thought. It's like, what the hell did you just say?
And that hoe just, over there.
That hoe over. Why don't you just say
was that hoe over
there?
Yeah.
Was a thought.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just redundant.
Fair enough.
Stupid.
Interesting.
All right. So game off the word
so,
thought.
So wait a minute. You really have to stop using it now.
Immediately.
Or he will sue you.
Or he will. Can we sue people for using thought?
It could be actionable.
It could be a emotional harassment.
Could we sue people for the word thought?
I would think so.
Okay.
Because it's actually, it's assault. Because maybe it's not violent. But it's threatening.
It's just a crime against humanity. It needs to end now.
I have lots of thoughts all the time.
Yeah,
in my head.
That's confusing.
Yeah,
I was thinking of women.
That's confusing.
I totally thought you were talking about women.
We're moving forward. Dan Walsh, what is your game on this week, sir?
My game on this week is the Funny Bone Comedy Club in Valley Park.
Oh, now, for all of our listeners in Miami and Minneapolis and everywhere else, if you ever come to the St. Louis area, we have a couple of Funny Bone Comedy Clubs.
The one that everyone knows about mostly in the St. Louis area is the Funny Bone at Westport. But recently, they opened up one in Valley Park, and it's a neat club, and it's a big room. Recently, I've been going there to kind of like just work on material on Wednesday nights. You have a showcase of just like the area's promising comedians, and these guys are really good. I mean, like, you hear the word open mic and you think it's just going to be like a lot of, you know, human fecal matter being thrown at you, but no, these guys are really good, and they're trying to hone their craft, and like me personally just try to like work on some new stuff and put it in my material, and it makes for a really good show, and it's really cheap. Also, they run the regular shows on the weekends and that of just like top talent, and just a nice club, man, and definitely just to check it out if you're one of those people that want to see the future of comedy, like definitely go Wednesday nights, because I mean, it's not only just going to be
and they
like,
can check you out there. You'll be there on Wednesday night's performance. So if you're a Dan Walsh fan, that's where you can find them.
It's not just like first timers. It's people that are doing this and they want to work on stuff. And you may see, you know, traveling comics that come in. Hopefully, the headliner that weekend may be there. It's just a cool thing to go check out. So, I mean, Valley Park Funny Bone, it kind of meets the needs for everybody in South County or even in Chesterfield or, you know, in St. Charles area. Really cool club. I really like it. I'm impressed. I like the way the people are there. Very professional. Nice looking room. Go check it out.
All right. Definitely. Now, game off. What's your game off this week?
My game off is people that have to, like, they share and emotionally comment on Facebook stories. And 90% of these stories, close to 100% of these stories are completely made up.
Like the Onion type stories?
Oh, yeah. And like people get emotional about it.
Oh, yeah. They'll get really in depth, especially if it has to do anywhere near the realm of politics whatsoever. Oh, yeah. And they jump all over it.
And it's something that you can completely tell. Like, I'm a big, like, and we've talked about this, like, I differ in my opinion on what is a credible source, what is not a credible source. Like, pretty much if it's not, and we've talked about this, if it's not a primary source, or even like a really legit secondary source, I don't consider it true.
So Wikipedia is true?
No, Wikipedia is awful. Like the fact that people use that is, it's no. But the thing about it is these stories are like nuts. Like the one, and I'm going to throw Darren under the bus. Not you know, our buddy Darren, you know, Gamble.
Okay. Yeah.
Jack Gamble, because he had one, and it was actually really funny. I think he might have been just joking around, but I just read the caption, and it just says, "This is why I don't go to church." And then I read the story, and it says, a Mormon girl volunteers to sell her virginity online in order to save church. The church bans her. First off, this is not.
I don't know about the church banning her, but that's a real story. There was a girl who was trying to get through college, and she sold her virginity on eBay for $2 million.
I can believe that, but a Mormon girl selling it to save her church? Do you really think that was even an option for the Mormon girl? First off, if it is, cool. I'm converting to Mormonism. These guys are getting exciting. I don't know what Mitt Romney's having going on there, but it's getting pretty cool.
Well, isn't Mormonism the Warren Jeffs thing?
Number two, why is that your option? Whatever happened to a bake sale? You're going to throw your virginity? Enough. I don't think that's an appropriate answer to anything. Even if I was like, hey, we need to raise money for Jim because his wife is sick. Oh, I'll just sell my virginity. Okay, that's cool. Or we can just, I don't know, do a raffle.
All right, so you want to game off people making posts of stupid things that are obviously not true and getting emotional about
this. This is my one, like his was joking around, but the one that I read, it was something like snake eats alligator or something, and they just put wow. Like they shared it, and they literally had to put wow because they wanted to add their own spin on it. So literally what they thought would be an epic comment that they could make to put themselves attached to the story is W-O-W, send.
All right. I'm going to do my game off because it kind of falls into the realm of the story that you brought up. And I might have to do my game off in overtime. But my game on this week, I'm actually switching it up. I'm calling an audible here.
Okay.
My game on is a documentary that came out a few years ago about the life and death. It's called The Life and Death of the People's Temple Church. And is the story of Jim Jones and the People's Temple Church from back in the late 70s and then going down to Guyana to Jonestown and everything that happened with that. It was an amazing documentary to read. First off, it's a book. You can read it, but it's an amazing documentary to watch and learn about. And you can find it for free online. You can rent it from Amazon and places like that. Check out The Life and Death of the People's Temple. Very interesting. It gives you a very heads-up opinion of who Jim Jones was as a person, which, a bad man, let's be honest. He was a cult leader. He did really bad things, and he screwed up a lot of people's lives, and 900 people plus ended up committing suicide along with him.
That was because the Kool-Aid guy?
No. Well, yeah, it was the Kool-Aid guy, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't Kool-Aid. They kind of tried to make it sound like it was cyanide is what they were doing. They were just drinking straight-up cyanide. They called it Kool-Aid. It wasn't Kool-Aid at all. But my point is that this was a really unique documentary about a really messed up time period in history where some bad things went down. But like where they came from and their purpose for why they were there and all that, I think it's going to be a very eye-opening moment for a lot of people if they watch this. Yes, Jim Jones was a piece of crap, but how they got to being pieces of crap is a really unique story. And so I think everybody would enjoy watching that documentary. So check it out, The Life and Death of the People's Temple Church. My game off is stop taking people for granted. let's just stop taking people for granted. I'm really sick of people that take people for granted. I think it's stupid. So my game off is really simple this week. So ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the queue. And what I want to do is I want to say thanks to, first off, Peter Van Loonen so much. STL Easy Ticket. You can search it in Google, right?
Yes. Thanks, Mark.
And appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk about some moral dilemmas with us, buddy.
No problem at all.
I think it's awesome. And you got a Scotch Club.
Yes.
Make sure you check that out on Facebook.
St. Louis Single Malt Scotch Club on Facebook.
Dan Walsh, anything you want to say before we get out here, sir?
That I love Jack Campbell.
All right. Fair enough. And what about you, Bobby?
Make sure you go to thecuenow.com. Go to the contest page. Register for tickets to the Muni and register for tickets to WrestleFest 5 up in Joliet, Illinois.
All right.
We're going to have a guest next week from that on.
That's going to be awesome. That's going to do it for us here on the Q. Thanks to 1380 The X as well as 1420 WINI every single week. And don't forget, RazorSharpDigital.com is where you can get all your SEO, SEM, and digital marketing for your company done very, very well. Ivan and those guys know exactly what they're doing. Check out RazorSharpDigital.com. That's going to do it for us. We got overtime after this. We'll be back next time on the Q. With me.
Dance.
Tango with me. Little Timbaland, back when he first started. Really successful.
Timbaland's so good.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime. Peter Van Loonen, the lawyer extraordinaire.
Yes, hello, Mark.
And our friend. Letters behind your name when you become a lawyer?
Yeah, do you get those?
JD.
JD, Juris Doctorate?
J, Juris Doctorate.
He's a Juris Doctorate.
Hmm.
Do you ever have any effed up, like, have you ever had any effed up cases you were involved in?
No.
Like, where you can't, you know, no. Nothing that was.
Never.
I mean, I'm just wondering.
Not that I can talk about.
No, I'm just saying.
Peter's like, you should have seen this one bitch that came in.
Kill all names. I don't want names. I just want to know what the story was.
Murder case.
You had a murder case that you dealt with?
Yeah, it was awful.
Really?
Yeah, it involved dead people.
Well, yeah, was it like somebody killing their parents? Was it somebody that walked into a place like.
Somebody who shot an abusive husband.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it was just
awful. Were the letters
was this person justified?
You know, I think in popular opinion, he would have been.
He was. Did he have neck tattoos and wear Carhartt jackets?
No, I didn't see that overall.
Did he call people a bammy?
No, it happened well before that. So
well before that,
he said, "I didn't see that all over the under all the blood in the pictures."
What is the most fucked up thing you've ever dealt with or seen or like beyond that? Like,
it was definitely the pictures in that murder.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a simple shoot the person. Of course, there's going to be blood. I mean, that comes. It doesn't sound like it would be that gruesome. I'm sure that you've seen or like in your studies have seen things that were worse.
No.
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
Wow.
If you shoot somebody a certain way, it looks pretty fucked up.
Yeah, seeing the inside of someone's head is about as in-depth as you're going to get.
I saw a video the other day. I think I told you about this. I saw a video. It was over in Asia.
Oh, yeah. This
is texting and driving video where... these people just come up on the scene of a really bad car accident. And it's just really fucked up because the cars are mutilated. You can't even tell what they are. The one person is dead and the steering wheel column has gone through their face. Then there's a person laying on the ground, split in half. But their body has so much adrenaline, they're still alive.
Yeah.
And they're actually trying to push themselves up to stand up. And the people are looking at them going, "You don't have legs." And the person then looks, because it was an American tourist that was talking. The person looks at the people and go, "I don't want to die."
Wow.
Well, you don't really have a choice in this one, buddy.
But you can see like the severed limbs. You can see the actual spot. Oh, horrible.
What are you doing? There's a moral dilemma. Do you just look at him and go, "Don't worry, you won't"?
Yeah, really.
No,
yeah.
You'll be fine.
No, you'll be okay, bro.
We're gonna get some needles.
Okay. Go to your happy place.
Just take a nap.
I'd be like, about porn.
Speaking of texting and driving, I want to give a shout out to John Shepper over at 1420 WINI. John actually was in an accident, and I can rant on this for just a second. People who text and drive, Stop it. Just fucking stop it. I'm sorry. Like, just, it's ridiculous. I had to deal with a situation where somebody swerved towards me. I've actually been stupid enough to be texting and driving and destroy the front end of my car because I took it into the back during a snowstorm. Actually, let me rephrase that. I wasn't texting and driving. I was trying to get music to play off of my phone through my stereo system, and I dropped the phone. So as opposed to during the snowstorm paying attention to what I should have been paying attention to, I decided to like try to reach over and drive and grab the phone to play with music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Distracted driving in general. John's in the hospital. Hopefully he recovers. He's got some things going on. But my point is texting and driving, you guys are fucking morons. People are getting hurt and killed doing this. And you don't even have to be drunk. No. It's not required to be drunk.
5 seconds of inattentiveness.
That's it. Five seconds, and before you know it, your life has changed.
I've never texted with my kids in the car, but I do text and drive sometimes.
Yeah, I'll be completely honest. Like, I'm with you, and I shouldn't do it, but every once in a while, if I'm, like, on the way or something, I do.
All right.
And I don't feel great about it, and, like, even as I'm doing it, I'm like, I'm going to get myself friggin' killed doing this. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm a human, and I do stupid-ass shit, even though I know I'm not supposed to.
What's funny is, actually, sometimes if I do text and drive, I hold it up so that I just look... thinking that that's going to save somebody. So like holding it up, looking at it like this, texting, so that I'm still looking out the front windshield instead of looking down at it.
So you're hoping brake lights.
Because I'm thinking that this is going to help me see brake lights and stuff like that when my focus is nowhere over here. It's right here on the phone.
Fair enough.
I almost ran over a dog, and that scared the shit out of me because I wouldn't want some kid to have to come find his dog because I was texting. But
I watched my friend's dog get run over right in front of us with his 4-year-old daughter right there.
Wow.
Yeah, like that, man. That's like the way I keep thinking about it is it's stupid. I can't believe I do it, but I'm a fucking moron. Every once in a while I do it.
Yeah.
Like I try not to do it. I really do consciously think like don't, but sometimes you just caught up in the stupid pressure of what you think you need to get this message across, which you don't, and you do it. You know,
the worst part is I've seen videos, you know, because there's a lot of jurisdictions here in the city of St. Louis where it's illegal now to text and drive.
Yeah, hands-free.
Yeah, hands-free. In the state of Illinois, if you're caught with a phone to your ear, even if you're talking, you know, talking on it, if you're caught with a phone in your hand, you will be pulled over and given a citation.
I think that's how it is in California, too.
But, I've seen videos of people here actually in the city of Florissant. You were talking about Florissant during the show. People in the city of Florissant caught one of their officers texting and driving on the highway.
Well, we know what Dan thinks of the city of Florissant, so.
It's my home. I was born and raised there.
Yep.
But
he loves it.
Yeah, like.
Born in cornbread.
The police may not want to help you. Just letting you know.
They might not want to be your friend at all.
They might fucking off to do something else that night.
Like, right.
All right, well, Dr. Dan, are you around, man?
I'm here.
We have got some letters from the listeners, and Pete, be more than fair if you want to jump in and say anything about it.
Yeah, because okay. You're like, you have some, like, certification.
You got some certification and knowledge, like, of juris doctors.
I do. I got the papers.
Poor temper. Yeah. I'm just going to start saying pro tempore.
Like what you said.
Pro tempum. De mortis els, yes.
Yeah.
Were you speaking Spanish
post-mortem,
or Latin?
Postmortem del temporum.
I guess it's
good
the
job
same thing.
Getting in touch with our Chinese demographic.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Dan and Mark, I think it's awesome that you
Time out. Why the hell am I not ever included in these damn letters?
Because you get your information from Wikipedia.
Well, first off, you killed your wife earlier.
Yeah.
And they're probably not real happy about that.
Actually, they're probably really super stoked because now Dr. Dan's here because you saved me.
Yes. Yeah. Good point. Dr. Dan is here because of you, Bobby. Good job.
You're a selfless man. And
can I retract that?
You.
Let's see. Here, let me add it. Dan, Mark, and producer
Bobby. No, I don't
even
want my name in there now. I wasn't there.
I think it's awesome that you do letters, and I would like to break my silence because I am in a situation. I recently spent the night with my grandmother, who is widowed, and realized she does phone sex with someone.
No!
I could hear her through the wall saying some pretty sexual things and making noises. So later that week, I'm talking with my father, who helps with my grandma's bills, and he is perplexed as to why there are a ton of long-distance charges to a foreign country that are adding up heavily.
Because, I heard grandma fondling her schnuggen schnuggen the other fucking night.
Let's hold on here, schnuggens. I am assuming they are one and the same, but I don't want to out my grandmother to my dad. How should I handle this?
Dad, you remember the other day when we were trying to move shit in grandma's room and it started fucking making weird noises? It's because her dildo was vibrating and fucking she was on the phone with Enrique from fucking Puerto Rico.
Well, dude, here's the thing. I just don't think you need to tell because, first off, your dad probably doesn't want to hear about his mother finger blasting herself to some foreign dude.
Yes.
Like, this sounds just as bad as the laser disc and masturbation.
I think like if you told him like, hey, this is what's going on, he probably would be like, you know what? I really would have just rather wondering. wonder what the fuck like I would actually pay this $500 to not know that my mother has phone sex and fondles her very old vagina.
Yes. I'm going to agree. Let's not out it. Let's let dad bring it up to grandma and let grandma try to smooth over in whatever way she
can.
Dude,
you know she would just tell her. You should just tell her.
Situation. Grandma's finger blasted herself.
Listen, son, okay, grandma's been a DJ every night. She's spinning the record down below
walking
the waist.
Grandma walking in just, son, there's some things that you don't need to know in your life. I like to fuck Mexican men.
I love son, I love going to Walgreens and buying myself a 30-minute phone card like there's no tomorrow.
Son, there's one thing you don't want to know about your mother. She can fit 3 in the vag and 2 in her asshole.
It's called the shocker.
It's not a full 4. So
we don't
even
call it a shocker. We call that the nuclear bomb, okay?
Yeah. Like, how do you split your own fingers to get 2? It would have to be a separate hand.
Guys, I got another letter here, and this was some hate mail. I've got hate mail.
Yes.
I get hate mail every once in a while. Dan Walsh gets extremely excited about my hate mail.
Well, because we say asshole things, but Mark gets blamed.
Dear Mark, please don't ever talk about grandmothers finger blasting themselves anymore.
Just leave the asshole part out.
I might write that letter.
Well, this one, gentlemen, let's go through with this one because this one is from a guy named Steve J. And Steve.
Anything that's better than telling you that God... putting teeth in your mouth wasted a perfectly good asshole. If it's better than that, then fucking read it.
I think I read the end of this, and it was pretty good.
This is pretty good. This one starts off, Mark, is your ass jealous of all the shit that comes out of your mouth? You have to be one of the dumbest people I know. To think that Obama is not driving this country into the ground is ridiculous. Are you prepared for the civil war he is creating with the blacks versus the whites? What about the nuclear holocaust he is throwing to the wind because he won't stand up to Putin on his shot down plane from the Malaysian people? And don't call me a racist because I brought up white and black people in the discussion. I feel like you crap all over the good city of St. Louis and these hardworking people with your constant need to support that which is obviously unpatriotic in general.
Yes, St. Louis!
Your mother should have swallowed you. On top of that,
holy wow. Fuck, that's just as bad as grandma finger banging.
On top of that, I think that you're a fat piece of shit. It looks like you were poured into your clothes and they forgot to say when. You run it.
When? Stop! Fuck, we put a little too much in there.
Stop, Bobby. Wow. You're running around thinking you're all that. I really don't know what your fucking problem is, but I bet it's hard to pronounce. Signed, Steve. So that's the level of letters that I get. First off, I don't think that there's a nuclear holocaust coming up anytime soon between Putin and Obama, as I'm sure you like to refer to him. I don't think that there's some black-white civil war that he's creating. I think that you're just a jealous douche nozzle who sits in his bedroom all night playing
listening
World
to
of
his
Warcraft,
grandma finger banger herself,
watching laser discs of your mom and dad having sex,
watching laser discs of your mom and dad have sex while your grandma finger blasts yourself in
yes,
the other
room. I think that you.
Oh my God! That guy wrote back. That's who it was.
It's possible. I doubt it.
Who is? What? I honestly just admire
that's who
the
it
guy's
was.
Spirit.
The guy who
like
watched
not
the
so much
laser
what he
disc.
Said.
Anyway, that's one of my favorite. That's another one. Every once in a while, I like to throw a really good hate mail out there. What'd you think, Pete?
He was a very good wordsmith. That's for sure.
Those are the only ones I read. Like, when I first started the show, I would get hate mail, and it was like some pretty vicious shit, and I would really take it personally. Like, I would get really angry, punch pillows type thing. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, I kind of got over that because I realized I'm in the public eye at this level. I know that people are going to say things about me, they're going to tweet things, they're going to do all kinds of things. And I started to read through them every single one I get. I try to read through it because then I started looking for those choice nuggets. You know what I'm saying? Those,
oh, yeah.
Just the guys that are really going out of their way. When the guy hit me with the asshole mouth, that was a great one. This guy with the port into the clothes, you know. And
I just want to know, Peter.
Yeah, it ended really strong, too.
It did. At what point does that letter become harassment or a slander?
Never. No, it's probably never.
You're on a public forum.
Yeah, I'm a public personality.
I was just curious.
You know what, though? The thing is, I'm surprised I haven't received one because it's very easy to hate me. And, like, I catch a lot of shit, too.
I haven't gotten one, but
stupid shit.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, I say asshole things, too. Like, most of the time I'm kidding, but...
Well, Dan, like, I'm going to make your day here because you know how you've been waiting for one of those really choice nuggets? Like, you know, rug burns on the face.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Laser disc in
here
your
we
mom.
Go, Dan.
Yeah.
I got you ready, bro.
Bring this shit.
I met some guy at a party and ended up going to his house. I love how it starts already.
It's already perfect.
Mid-thrust, he started laughing maniacally and yelled, "I am fucking an alien princess. I am fucking an alien princess." I, far too sober, immediately stopped and then had to listen to him say with wise-eyed open, "Your vagina looks like a fridge scene, like the fridge scene from Ghostbusters." I fell asleep and woke up.
Bitch, that means you need to clean that shit a little more often. A, because
Bobby,
gross.
Let me finish the story.
No!
I fell asleep and woke up in the morning to him eating a whole key lime pie. Head, not even looking over at me, and he said, "You can't have any." I walked home. There it is, Dan.
That is the ultimate walk of shame.
Wow. So, Dan.
I'm just glad that I'm not the only one that does that.
Oh, my goodness.
I was really feeling weird for a while. Now, you know what? I love the fact that after all this weird shit went down, she just went to bed.
I love the fact that he wakes up with a key lime pie, just scarfing it and goes, "You can't have any." Like, doesn't even look at her. You know, he's just
that,
like, oh.
And you know what the bad part is? That's the least weird thing that he did in that whole story.
Yeah, it is.
Once he told
where
you,
did the Ghostbusters fridge scene? Like, that's some pretty
and then she goes,
up.
And then I just went to sleep. So I'm just picturing him going, "Your vagina's like the Ghostbusters fridge." She's like, "Oh, my God." Like, seriously? I'd have been like, "Where's a fucking open window or something I can get out of here?"
Jump out of that son of a bitch immediately.
Like, do you have neighbors? I'm going to yell for help, and nothing's even happened yet because you're weird.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
I wasn't expecting him to have been to her have awoken to him with a key lime pie.
Well, Bobby, see, key lime pie is delicious.
I was expecting her to, like, wake up to him, like, jacking off, being like, "You want to touch my lightsaber?"
If he was screwing the key lime pie, and then he looked over at her, and he's like, yeah. "This feels like your mouth when you're sleeping." That would be creepy. Then I'd be like, "Oh, fuck, man. We swung for the fences on this one."
I think we have to end on that.
No, we don't. Actually, we got to end on your five things. You don't have your imaging today, but it's five random facts that Bobby gives us every single week. That's his new thing. Bobby, go take it away.
Number five. The correct word for a female dude is not dudette. It's actually dudeen.
Ooh, a dudeen. Oh.
Yes.
The dudeen.
So, for all you guys that have been fucking it up this time.
Wait a minute. What is that based off of? What is
Dan Walsh, don't fucking ask me that. Okay?
Dudeen, I never heard anyone say the word dudeen.
Yeah, I mean, how is that fact established?
Yeah, how
right?
is that established?
It doesn't matter how it was established. It's a random fact.
It doesn't matter how it was
Wikipedia.
Established. It matters
Wikipedia.
That it was a fact. Number four. Adolf Hitler was actually nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. This is in the history book.
This is actually true.
Just so you know.
I've heard that before.
Adolf Hitler was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize in 1939. The Peace Prize, though, ended up not being awarded to anyone because the World War II breaking out.
Because he began to massacre Jews.
Right, yes.
Put a damper on that.
Number three.
Interesting.
The dates, April 4th, June 6th, August 8th, October 10th and December 12th every year fall on the exact same day of the week.
Really? I've never known that. That's kind of unique.
Well, now you do.
There it is.
Number two. One out of every 25 people in New York, the city, is a millionaire. One out of every 50 people in the cities of Houston and San Francisco are millionaires.
Wow, that is crazy, man. Why can't I be one of them four people?
You gotta move to Houston.
Jeez.
And number one.
You got to be a millionaire to live in those fucking places.
Elephants have a sense of smell that's five times stronger than the humans and twice as strong as dogs. Wow.
Could they smell the fridge scene from Ghostbusters?
Here's another fact to add on to that. Did you know that elephants are the only other species besides us that visit grave sites of their dead loved ones?
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that before. Yep. That's really weird.
Interesting.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think that that's what we're going to end this week's overtime. I want to thank Peter Russell Van Loonen. Thank you so much for coming on, buddy.
Thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure.
STL Easy Ticket. Google it.
Correct.
That's if you want to make those points go away on your driver
record.
That's
right. Yeah, if you get a ticket, just take a smartphone picture of it and send it to stleasyticket@gmail.com.
But don't stick a dick in it.
All right.
Don't stick your dick.
Well, for myself, Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bowdy, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next time on the show. It's your permit if it's wet yet. It's your permit if it's wet yet. If you get a